Last couple days, I flew back to Akron, Ohio, where I am from, to bury my aunt. I was very happy to do that. But while I was, I spent a lot of time on airplanes and in various airports, and I had a lot of time to think about this gospel. I was praying about it, and you know, much of my ministry comes out of my ears in customer service with the airline industry, and I was watching people and reminding myself, when people are inconvenienced in that particular area or in most others, I found over the years that they kind of tend to fall into one of two areas. If your flight is interrupted and you find that you have been put out by somebody else, generally speaking, you can respond with pride or humility. A prideful person, when they find their luggage didn't arrive or their flight is canceled or some sort of thing, and they want to get what they want, they'll come up to the agent and they'll tell you how important they are, how much they need to be where they're going, how unimportant you are, and you better listen to me. Sometimes you get a veiled threat, or how important my business is to your company. That's the only legitimate of those ones that I mentioned. This does not get you what you want. People will do this posturing, and it comes out of many of us. We don't know what we're going to do until we are in that situation. It's not the best way to get what you want in that situation. All the power lies with the agent at that moment. Right? Who hasn't been in that spot? I lost my luggage once, and I told the lady what I used to do for a living, and she says, "Oh, what side of the counter are you on now?" Oh, there was a moment of truth, boy, I'll tell you. Now, the person with a certain amount of humility will be just as upset. They're just as important, right? No matter what fare they paid. But they don't put it in your face. They're firm. They make their point clear. But they know their place. That's the way to get what you want. But it takes humility. In today's gospel, we have two gentlemen. They go up to the temple to pray because the temple is on the highest ground of the city. And they both come in to the temple area. One goes to the front, one goes to the back. And they both begin their prayer in exactly the same way. Oh God. Do you know that? Oh God. The first man, the Pharisee, you know who he's talking to? It says it right in the gospel. I didn't even notice it till I read it last night. He said to himself. He's talking to himself. God is there to listen to how good he is. He's doing all the right things. But he isn't giving God any glory. He doesn't need anything from God. He doesn't need a Savior. He doesn't need forgiving. He wants God to know how good he's doing. It's like somebody who goes to the doctor, and while they're seeing the doctor, they tell him how well he is. And the doctor might as well say to him, "So why are you here?" Yeah. God is simply in the role of beatifying this person. It's not the kind of conversation that endears us. It's like somebody that's always tooting their own horn and they're boring, or they're make themselves out to be something they're not. And then he does something which is very lethal, and that is that he compares himself to everybody else. Don't we all tend to do this? Sometimes we compare and we come up short. Sometimes we compare and we think, well, I may not be the best Catholic in the world, but boy, by God, I'm better than these people. Aren't we tempted to do that? And the Lord is not going to judge you relative to everyone else. He doesn't grade on the curve. He simply wants to know what we did with what we had, and were we humble when we didn't. That's what gets God's heart. The first person into heaven was a thief after Jesus. The Pharisees, who were the religious professionals, when they walked by the cross, they spat on Jesus. They didn't have any use for a Savior. Thank you very much. Now, the tax collector comes in. He's a tax collector was the worst kind of sinner. They really were. People, as soon as you said tax collector, it meant the lowest of the low. And he comes in. Now, you may remember from last week, the early Christians prayed often with their hands up. This was true for the Jews as well. You'll see this all over the scriptures. This man, not only did he not raise his hands, he wouldn't raise his eyes to heaven as the Jews would do. In another gospel, he lies prostrate on the ground. Have you ever prayed flat on the ground? I've done that a few times. It's a powerful prayer. Oh God, have mercy on me. And he says, it says he beats his breast. Somebody asked me how he could lay on the ground and beat his breast. Well, I don't know. What do we used to, how many of you remember, through my most grievous fault? One has to be over a certain age to remember that. The rest of you may have heard of it. And look for that to come in the next translation of the sacramentary. It will return, I can almost guarantee you, in exactly this way. Through my most grievous fault. When we took that out of the Mass, the sense of sin went along with it, I think. It kind of mirrored the times. It doesn't hurt to have a good sense of our sinfulness. It is our sins, oddly enough, that lead us to Christ. So that that's why he redeemed us. We need a Savior. Yes, we have to look at what we do well. That's very important that we affirm that. And thank God, as the Pharisee did. But we also need to know our faults. A good spiritual practice that everyone in the room should be doing every day is to take a moment, doesn't have to be long, at some point when you have a free moment, how did I do today, or how am I doing? When am I listening to God? When am I deaf? When have I done his will? When did I blow it? Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That leads to wisdom. If we don't do that, we may never know what comes between me and God. We might ask ourselves a question. Do I ever go to confession? As Catholics, it's very rare that we don't commit a major sin at some time in our lives. That's sacraments particularly for that sin, that kind of sin. If I don't, and I'm just suggesting, I don't know your heart, but perhaps I lack humility. That would be the question to ask. Am I too proud? It's lethal. Pride is lethal. That is the fundamental sin that we all have. I found this week was an extremely interesting week, and I did a lot of spiritual growth this week. I have to admit that I was amazed at some of the things that happened. I got the call on Monday that my Aunt Helen had died, although she had been ill for many years. I knew immediately that I wanted to go there for the funeral, and so I got on the internet, looked for a fare, about $800 to go to Cleveland, you know. I'm thinking, Cleveland, you know, $800. They made a lot of money during the playoffs, I'm sure, you know what I mean, last week. But I was, you know, I love my aunt. I was willing to pay that, but I it was the best deal I could come up with, and I put my credit card in to buy this ticket. It kind of just stalled. And then it said, check back in a couple hours. Well, you know, I couldn't do that. So I called Northwest Airlines, and I said, they had the best flight. You know, it left at noon. That way I could sleep in a little bit. That's my kind of flight. And I said, do you have this? Did I buy this ticket or didn't I? I said, this is the best flight for me, and I really want to go here to this. And she says, no, it didn't take. She said, but I see from your frequent flyer number that you have mileage. Allow me to give you this ticket for free. And I said, oh, Lord, you are so good. I said, oh, boy, praise the Lord. I was grieving, but I was also very pleased, you know. And so I got ready to go and arranged it with my family back there. The wake was on Thursday, and I didn't want to inconvenience them by having them pick me up right during the wake. You know what I mean? And so I got to the airport on Wednesday. And I parked my car in the economy lot. And I got my tag ready to put it in my wallet to write where my car's parked. My wallet was sitting on the bed in Kaiser. That was the last flight of the day. I was supposed to be the main celebrant at the funeral and the burial. I've only got one aunt left. And I was upset. And I'll tell you what I would have said in earlier days. This thing crossed my mind, but I will admit, I did not say this, but I was thinking it. I said, "Oh God, I have served you. I have had 11 years of hard labor, you know, in the priesthood. And I've been faithful to you in this. And oh God, I tithe. Oh God, I fast every day. And what have you done to me?" I said a prayer to my guardian angel. Where was he while I walked off with my wallet? That I'll admit, I did say that. Forgive me. And my fault. And the Lord helpfully pointed out that he's basically, and who was it that left that wallet on the bed in the first place? But I realized, and I was praying about this reading, I realized this is not the way to impress God. Nor, I said, there's a lesson here. I said, "Thy will be done." I was very upset, actually. I thought I would miss the funeral. And I didn't want to miss the funeral. And one blames oneself, and when one can't take that, you want to blame someone else, but there's no one else in the room, right? And I said, "Thy will be done. I know you will work this out to good." I got home, and I got on the phone, and I was able to rebook it. Unfortunately, it left at 6 a.m. the next day. Anybody who knows me knows I suffered, you know. But you know, the point is, if I lack humility, God will point it out to you. Watch your reaction in the moments of stress. Watch your reaction when you have genuinely been wronged. Now, this was not a case where anybody had wronged me. Not even my guardian angel. But watch what happens when you're in the right and you have something to say. Do I act with pride? How humble am I? Only the humble will get into heaven, I guarantee you. We have to have the humility to need a Savior. That requires a healthy self-knowledge of what I lack. And that is what God wants from us. He loved what the Pharisee did, but he did not approve of his pride. In our lives, God wants us to have humility, and he will lead you in that. Let us pray that our Lord will guide us on the path of humility and to life.